morning. I'm doing something here that I've never done before. It is the first time, PowerPoint. So, and he even gave me his little clicker up here that I could change the pictures.
They're doing amazing things with technology now.
I know, it's really neat, actually. My wife and I had fun trying to get this together. That last song y'all sang, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here, that should be sung before every service everywhere, because that's what we need, the Holy Spirit to be present with us. Now, my sermon is not on the Holy Spirit, but it just struck me. I just absolutely love that song. I'm going to be talking about three words today, adoption or justification, adoption and sanctification. When you come to know Jesus Christ and you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you become saved, okay? Well, what goes along with that? Is it just, I'm saved, I'll come to church on Sunday, and that's the end of it? No, there's a lot more involved than that. And these three words are the things that are going to show you what God and Christ are doing in your life since you became believers. Now, these are three words that address not just believers, but unbelievers also. Many of us know that we have to believe in Jesus Christ. But what actually happens to us when this occurs? To justify, that first word up there. I'm going to move on. What I've done, so we're going to look at that first word, justification. To justify means to declare someone righteous, okay? To count someone righteous, to reckon someone righteous. So if justification is declaring someone righteous, what's the opposite of that? It's to declare someone unrighteous or to condemn someone. We are either justified by God or we are condemned by God. Kind of scary words in there, being condemned. If we are true believers in Jesus Christ, then we are justified before God. Now, you could look at the first verses, Romans 8, 33 and 34 up there. You could read them with me. Paul is talking. He says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and who is also interceding for us. So God is the author of our justification. And grace is the source of our justification. Remember, justify equals righteous. So in Romans 3, 22 to 24, it reads, this righteousness, which is justification, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So it's by his grace that we are justified. So we said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Now you are justified with God, justified through Christ. We are declared not guilty at this time. When a judge in a court of law declares the defendant not guilty, what happens? All the charges are dismissed. When God forgives our sins, our record is wiped clean. From his perspective, it's as though it has never happened. He remembers no more. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers no more. In Romans 5:9, we read, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Meaning Jesus Christ. how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Him is Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is the ground for our justification. He was delivered over to death for our sins, you could underline our, and was raised to life for our sins. Double lines under our. Some may ask what the means of this justification consists of. In Romans 5:1, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's true faith, Jesus Christ. True faith, or saving faith, is believing with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, that he was buried, and then he was resurrected to life again. True saving faith. It could only come by faith in Jesus Christ. The justification. Can we be justified unto God by deeds of the law, by following the laws of the Old Testament, of the Jews? No. Can we be saved if we're good boys and girls in our courts of law nowadays? No. The only way that we can be saved is by faith in Christ. Look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. So the law is showing us our sins, showing us what we do wrong, what we do right. We cannot control our sins. We're human beings. There's no way in this world we can control our sins. Try controlling your tongue with words that we use. We're not sinless. It's very hard to control that tongue. We know that we are helpless. Christ was the only one who could keep God's laws perfectly. In Galatians 3:11, Paul writes, clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. We also cannot be justified by works. In Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Grace is a free gift. God gives us this free gift. It's not by our works or the things we do. It's not by how many times we're in church throughout the year. It's by our faith in Jesus Christ. By God's grace, he gave his son. So salvation is by grace. It can't be earned in whole or in part. We can never be righteous or justified on our own. We have to be united with Christ. We have to be one with him. And when we are justified by our true faith in Jesus Christ, we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. I preached on the Holy Spirit back in October. And I said, we become a new nature. As soon as you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's dwelling within you. You become a new nature, a new person. We're regenerated. We become a child of Christ, or a child of God. And that comes to the second word in the title. The first one was justification. The second word is adoption. We are adopted. We are becoming God's children. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. It tells us that in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, that one being Jesus Christ. You have to look at that and say, it is not our pleasure, it is not our will, it is God's will, God's pleasure, it is God's grace. Romans 8, 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We are adopted children. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Listen to these words. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We're not foster children. We were, maybe. But now we're adopted. And we're true sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of God. This adoption takes place at the very moment that a person exercises true saving faith in Christ. You are an adult son and an adult daughter, and you are an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit into your heart. Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. All of these verses confirm everything that we're talking about here. The justification, the adoption. So we're justified by God through Jesus Christ. And we're adopted by God, and we are heirs with Jesus Christ. And now we come to that third word, sanctified. We are sanctified by God through Jesus Christ. Now, what does the word sanctified mean? It means we are set apart unto God. We are set apart for God. We are holy to God. The word sanctified or holy does not necessarily mean that we are sinless. We're human beings. We are always going to have sin. But we are set apart unto God. We are his chosen. And Christ has taken our sins upon himself. For us. When we look at the scriptures, we find God has set apart unto him persons and things throughout the Old Testament and the New. And just a few things. In Exodus 19, verses 23, Moses asked God to set apart Mount Sinai for the giving of the law. And in Exodus 40, verses 1 through 15, the tabernacle, the furniture, the vessels, the priests, and their garments were all sanctified. They were set apart for God. They became holy things. God took set apart about 40 men to write his word, to write the Gospels, the scriptures. The Church of Jesus Christ has been set apart or sanctified unto God. We are the church, not this building. We as Christians are that church. All these things God has done to you since you believed. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So Christ sanctified himself to die on the cross, to be resurrected and ascended to heaven. And why did he do this? He sanctified himself so we would be sanctified through him. Now that we are sanctified, what's next? Well, I have no more words up there. We're justified, we're adopted, we're sanctified. So if sanctification is parallel with holiness, we have to grow in that holiness. How are we going to do that? Here's a quote from a preacher. I read several of his books. He's from the mid-1900s. He died in, I think, 1963. A.W. the preacher and writer. And in his one book, Born After Midnight, it's called, I want to read just a quote from him that even to today. It says, "I think most Christians are simply uninstructed. They may have been talked into the kingdom when they were only half ready. Any convert made within the last 30 years was almost certainly told that he had but to take Jesus as his personal Savior and all would be well. Possibly some counselor may have added that he now had eternal life and would most surely go to heaven when he died, if indeed the Lord does not return and carry him away in triumph before the unpleasant moment of death arrives. After that first hurried entrance into the kingdom, there is usually not much more said. The new convert finds himself with a hammer and a saw and no blueprint. He has not the remotest notion what he is supposed to build. So he settles down to the dull routine of polishing his tools once each Sunday and putting them back into their box. We are to grow in holiness, and we are to grow in grace. And through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in us, the believer is gradually changed into the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So we are to be growing in the Spirit. We are to be growing in grace. So how do we grow in this sanctification? Here's your blueprint: God's Word. By separating ourselves, we grow also from sin and daily presenting ourselves to God. One of the things I pray for, it's just a few words, it's taken out of the Old Testament. I pray every day, "God, here am I, use me. God, here am I, use me. God, here am I, use me." It doesn't necessarily mean using you here right now. It means out there, wherever you are, in the grocery store, in line at the checkout. "God, here am I, use me." Romans 6:13. "Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." Our daily walk with Christ. Walk worthy of Christ. Walk worthy of Christ. Romans 12:1-2. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Remember the renewing of your body? You're regenerated. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we grow in sanctification or holiness by studying and obeying the scriptures. This is your rule book. And if you don't look at it, how do you know? Just from Ted or myself speaking on a Sunday for 30 minutes? No. You got to read. You got to look at it. You got to study it. And once you start studying and reading it, it'll grow on you. I can guarantee that. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19 up there. Do not quench the Spirit. Those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. 5 words. Always remember those. Just like, here am I, use me. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the grace of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and He will do it. That was 1 Thessalonians 5. So test them all by studying His Word. How do we know right from wrong if you don't study His Word? How do we stay on a straight path to God if we don't study His Word? The only way to do it is just that. Now, even though we were justified, adopted, and sanctified, we are not completely holy. How do you come be completely holy? When will that happen? Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Paul says, may He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Our complete sanctification will take place at the coming of Christ. And we as believers will then be delivered from His presence, this presence of sin. We'll have those glorified bodies that we look for. We will be like Jesus Christ forever. Look at Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Our lowly bodies, just like we are at this moment sitting here, our lowly bodies will be transformed just like Him. And then Ephesians 5:27, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And one more, John, 1 John 3:2-3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves. We become pure, just as He is pure. I want to ask a few questions here. Are you justified by God? Are you counted as righteous by God? If not, you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you adopted by God? If not, you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you sanctified by God? If not, you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you growing with God? If not, you need to be reading and studying God's Word, the Bible. This book was written by 40 men, as I said earlier, through the inspiration of God. This book is your blueprint on how to live a Christian life. So don't just take your tools and polish them every Sunday. Read the blueprints and build something in your walk with God. And for those, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not believe with your whole mind and heart and soul and strength, tell Him now that you want to be Him to be your Savior. Tell Him now. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for this time you've given us, that we can learn more and more about your word, that we can learn more and more about our heavenly walk with Jesus Christ, about how we can glorify you, dear God, through our ways, our actions, our words. Father, I pray that you'll open our spiritual eyes now and ears, and that you'll lead us and guide us. In Jesus' glorious name I pray. Amen.